Everybody said amen to that.
Amen.
Thank God we're not Jews, and we don't have to follow the Jewish laws and the Mosaic system of sacrifices and all of those things, because, man, that's some pretty complicated stuff. And Jesus simplifies it all for us in this portion of Scripture, in this famous question and his famous answer. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and one of the scribes came. Matthew calls him a lawyer. And having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And did you know that in the Jewish culture, the lawyers were the theologians? Because the law that they followed was God's law. And so God's law required that a man of God interpret it. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is the one and the only God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Isn't that great the way Jesus answered that question? That's just as plain and simple as a nose on your face. And then, as Jesus always does when you pray a prayer and you ask a question, Jesus doesn't just give you the answer that you were looking for, but he also gives you what you were expecting. And so in his own ministry way, he gives the second commandment. And the second is like, or is similar. And it means this, or namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Wow. And Jesus, when he saw that he answered him discreetly or respectfully and well, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that dared to ask him any questions. I want to preach to you this morning one step closer. One step closer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're so thankful for this gathering of believers, and we're thankful to be here today. And we are thankful to have the opportunity to share your word. And I pray that the things that are said would be light and encouragement to our paths and to our hearts. And it would encourage us to step closer to you and to draw close to you, and that you would draw close to us, and that we would be strengthened and matured in our faith with you as a result of the time we spent together. We worship the time we spent together in the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about being one step closer. And then I said something earlier that I didn't finish, that we are getting ready to launch our home group semester number 3. And we've really had a good time in our home groups this year. We've been into all kinds of sticky situations and discussions, and we've dug into some deep things in the Word of God. And we're getting ready to challenge the church to read through the entire New Testament during this next home group semester. And that is going to start, I believe I've got my calendar straight. Today is the 16th, so it will start on the 23rd. That'll be next Sunday. And we're going to have a Bible reading plan out. I know that some of you have already read the Bible. Probably have already read the New Testament. Probably, maybe some of you have already read the whole entire Bible through this year. And we applaud your diligence and your hungering and thirsting after God's Word. And your choice to follow along with this reading plan with the rest of the church is up to you, because you are already one step ahead of everybody else. But those of the rest of us that haven't read our Bibles all the way through, or the New Testament, or any coming close to that, we're challenging the church to read through the New Testament together. And we're going to have about 11 weeks to do that. And I intend to have a Bible reading plan with our current dates and what scriptures are to be read, what chapters in the Bible to be read each day. And we are going to be preaching and teaching on the New Testament challenge and challenging you for the next 10 or 11 weeks on different important topics from the New Testament that we as Christians must grasp a hold of if we are to stay strong and healthy. Peter says in the Word in one place that there are certain things that God has given us, everything that we need to be saved and for life and for godliness, everything that we need. I could look that scripture up real quick, but I won't for time's sake. And God has given us everything that we need. He's given us of His Spirit, and He's forgiven and washed our sins away. What else do we need? He's given us His Spirit, and He's washed our sins away and adopted us into His family. What else do we need? Well, we find when we read further in that passage of Scripture with Peter, and then he says, but add to your faith. And he gives a list of things that we should add to everything that God has already given us. And he says at that point that if you do that, you will never fail. You'll never fall, and you won't be fruitless, because God plants us and He expects us to grow and bear fruit. And so we're going to challenge you for the next 10 or 11 weeks on different things to grow us and challenge us to follow the Word of God as we study the New Testament together. And our home groups are going to be asking questions, discussing topics as well, that is especially the things that we talk about, the challenges that we give you over the next 10 weeks. We're going to talk about those in our home groups. And then as you read the Word of God for yourself, we're going to pray together that the Word of God will speak to you and will impart a word into your life that will feed and stir your spirit and make you a stronger Christian. How many of you think you could probably be a stronger Christian than what you are? And we've got about half of the church, the other half of the church. We're all going to try to be as good as you. I know that I can be a better Christian. I know that I need to be a better Christian. But I want to talk to you today, and this is kind of a preliminary message about taking one step closer to the Lord. One of the things that we see in this portion of Scripture today is everybody has their own ideas about God. Everybody has their own ideas about the Bible and what the Bible says and what it means and whether it's important or not and how we're going, how we are as individuals to carry it out, how the church is to carry it out. And we all have our own pet doctrines and folk theologies and teachings that we think are more important than others. All of us have a certain set of beliefs about what we feel is true and right and just. And we measure everybody else and everything else by those internal beliefs that we hold. Whether those beliefs are true or not is irrelevant. Once we are convinced of their value and their importance, we will defend them tooth and nail. We'll even argue with God Himself if He doesn't line up with what we hold to be true and dear. And so when something comes our way that causes what psychologists call disequilibrium, when it messes with our brain, when it messes with our beliefs, and when something or somebody comes along and messes with the way that we see the world, we begin to get into a turmoil, we become upset, we become disturbed internally, and we have to try to find a way to test or prove whether what this new belief that we hear is true or not. And if we don't meet the challenge, then everything that we are, and the person that we are, and everything that we believe falls apart at the seams. And so we either have to change the way we believe and accept this new idea that's coming our way, or we have to reject this new idea that's coming our way and protect what we believe. Everybody had questions for Jesus. If you could sit the Lord down this morning and have a chit-chat with Him over that old coffee cup, if you could sit the Lord down today, and I'm sure that every one of us would have some questions for the Lord. Some of us will want to know, why, God, did you let this happen? Why do you let these things go on? And others will want to know, how much longer is it going to be before we see this and that prayer request and change come to pass? And others may, of the more intellectual sort, may want to know, God, just exactly how do you keep all of the planets spinning in their orbits like they do? Just explain to us how you create. Was it a big bang, or did you really create us from the dust of the earth and breathe a breath of life into our nostrils, or do we come crawling out of an algae filled pool as some little slithery little creature? Explain to us where we came from and how it all came into existence. Others of us of the theological sort and of the eschatological party, we'll want to know, Lord, how are you going to bring about the end time events? Wouldn't it be great if you could sit the Lord down and say, Lord, just exactly when are you coming back? Amen. And that's what they've been saying ever since the Bible or the New Testament scriptures were penned. They've been saying the Lord is coming back very soon. Well, it's been 2,000 years. I'd like to sit the Lord down and ask Him, where did them 2,000 years come from? Oh, don't act like you don't have questions for the Lord. And these, what happened in Jewish times, is the same thing that happens. It is happening in our times. And did you know that there were different Jews that thought that different commandments were more important than others? Did you know that there was more than one Jewish denomination in the nation of Israel at the time of Jesus Christ? Times haven't changed, folks. Humans haven't changed one iota. We're just as contentious and opinionated and proud and self-deluded as we've always been. And there were Sadducees, and they believed that there was no afterlife, that there was no heaven, that everything that there was what we saw in front of us. There were no angels or demons. And that when we died and passed off this earth, that was the end. That was a denomination of Jews. And there was the Pharisee denomination, and they believed that in angels, and they believed in the afterlife, and they believed in demons, and they believed in the spiritual realm. And so they were always arguing back and forth about the theological things, and each group following their own path of ideas and belief systems, fighting and arguing with each other. And there were other groups as well, which we won't get into this morning. Everybody has their own idea about how it's supposed to be. And I always like to say, one of my famous sayings in bygone days is, it doesn't matter what you believe, it just matters what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what your opinions are, what matters is what the Bible says. And these Jews, what happens, what you believe begins to nurture the way you live. What you believe, it will fashion the way you worship. What you believe will begin to color and to begin to dye every single thing that you do. The words and the type of words that you use and the type of food that you eat. If you believe that meat is evil, then you're going to be a vegetarian. If you believe that wine is evil, then you're not going to drink. If you believe that wine is good, then you're going to drink. And whatever your personal persuasions are about various and sundry things will then inform your lifestyle. And over a period of time, various groups of people will form around a certain belief system, and you'll be attracted to people that see the world like you do. They've proven scientifically through research and study that most children have formed their religious beliefs by the age of 13. All of their religious beliefs have been formed in precept. And that when they get older, if they fall away from the church, and when they decide to go back to church, they're not going to look for a church that preaches truth. They're going to look for a church that preaches what they're used to hearing. They're going to look for a church that believes like they do. That's the world we live in. And this man, now everybody had been coming up to Jesus and asking him questions. All of the theological experts and all of the spiritual experts and all of the political experts and all of the various people have been coming and asking him questions about politics and about war and about the afterlife and about commandments and washing hands and they had created such complex lifestyles around their own personal pulpits that they like to preach at, and they were all asking questions about, everybody's got questions about different things. And I've come to believe over the years, as especially since we started these home groups about 2 years ago, I've come to believe that the question is more important than the answer. It's more important to have the right question than it is to have the right answer. And I've become enamored or have fallen in love with questions. I love questions. I love to ask questions. I love to create questions that draw people out and gets them to tell what they really believe. Not so that I can prove them wrong or right, but so that I can get them to think about what they believe. So that I can get them to think about what they say. So that I can get them to think about, and then we always read scriptures to go along with the question, and then they have to ask themselves, does what I believe line up with what the Bible teaches?
Right.
And this man asks the last of the questions that are to be asked of Jesus. The Bible says after this man asked his questions, nobody else did because they were all afraid to look stupid. It reminds me of that child's getting hot or cold. And you would always hide something in the room and the other person would go out of the room and you would hide something. The other person would come back in the room and you have to say hot or cold. Are we getting hot? No. Getting cold. Getting hot? No. You're cold. And always trying to move around until getting warmer, and then you get excited and you finally find where they've hidden things. And so all these people are asking questions to Jesus. All these people are living religious lives. All these people are following after what they believe to be true. And their beliefs are based on scriptural teachings that were left to them by Moses and the prophets. But for some reason they got colder and colder and colder and further away from the heartbeat of the scripture. Why did God say those things? what is the true purpose and what is the most important things that we should remember. And so this lawyer came, and he no doubt had been in many theological debates. No doubt he had been in many civil suits and judicial procedures concerning the law of Moses and the activities of people who were unhappy with each other and who had affected their neighbors in negative ways. And no doubt he had sat in many hours of teachings of different theologians and had read the Bible himself and the commandments over and over again. And there's usually nobody sharper, no sharper tack in the box than the attorney. And he come to Jesus, and his attitude is different than everybody else. He's not in there trying to prune Jesus wrong. He's not going in there to try to make himself look good. He is truly hungry for an answer. And let me just say something today, folks. When you are truly hungry for an answer from God, you're not coming with your preconceived notions to tell God what he's supposed to believe. When you're not coming with your agenda to try to get God and show how wrong he is and how unjust he is. But when you come with a hungry heart and you come truly and sincere to seek an answer from him and truly want and desire to understand, you are not far from the kingdom. Because that is the only type of attitude that can receive truth from God. And he came and he said unto him with respect. You've been listening to everybody arguing back and forth. And he heard how Jesus was answering them. He said, man, this guy's really got it on the ball here. I'm going to ask him a question that has been bothering me for a long time. These people say this is more important. These people say this is more important. Jesus, tell us which is the most important commandment. It's not about the answers as much as it is asking the right questions. We can pray prayers and ask the Lord all sorts of things. And how many of you go to the prayer closet and pray prayers and you ask questions, you never hear anything back? Oh yeah. It may be because you're not asking the right question. It may be because you haven't prayed the right prayer. The Bible says in Romans, we don't know how to pray like we should. We don't know how to pray like we should. So the Spirit of God helps us to pray. Because otherwise we would bang our heads against the wall endlessly until it's just a bloody pulp. We would run around like a dog chasing its tail or biting on its leg. And we would look foolish and never get anywhere in our prayer closet if God didn't instruct us and guide us. He asks the right question. In Matthew, after this discussion, Jesus asks them a question that's not recorded in Matthew, but it's a part of this discussion. He looks at them and says, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? That is the question that must be answered. Because until that question is answered, then our faith is stalled and the wheels are turning. Jesus asked his disciples the same question, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're a resurrected prophet. Others say you're a great teacher. Others say you're this and you're that. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? The hypothesis is everything. Because the hypothesis will drive your research and your questions and your energy. The hypothesis is the belief that you hold to be true. And so you will do everything that you can to find evidence for it. But if you're if your hypothesis is wrong and your question is off base, then you're going to spend all your life and energy trying to answer a question that's irrelevant. What's the most important commandment? Number one, he said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is the one and only God. And you've got to love Him with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. This is the pivot. This is the hinge pin that turns the door on the kingdom of God. And the second commandment is like this. You need to love your neighbor just exactly the same way as you love yourself. And there are no other commandments greater than these. And look at the lawyer's answer. The scribe, he says, that is the truth. There is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And where Jesus says, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that is an Old Testament commandment from Leviticus. Did you know that? That's an Old Testament commandment from Leviticus. Jesus wasn't making up something new. These were Old Testament commandments. Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And then the lawyer said, this is right. Because he'd seen so much cheating. No doubt he'd seen so much avarice or greed. And he'd seen so many things going on amongst the people that he just couldn't come to grips with in his heart. He just knew that it wasn't right. He wasn't satisfied with the Pharisees' ideas of theology. He wasn't satisfied with the Sadducees' ideas of theology. He felt like something was missing. We find people coming to Jesus often and asking a similar question. Something is missing from all of this. And when Jesus saw the way he answered, he said, you're right, Jesus. And he said, These things are more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I have not charity, it profits me nothing. Though I can understand all prophecies and explain all mysteries, and I do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Though I give all of my goods to feed the poor and I do not have charity, it profits me nothing. And though I give my body to be burned and I have not charity, it profits me nothing. Because all the law and the prophets hang on one thing. Your love for God and the way you show your love for God. Bible says that no man can hate his brother and say that he loves God. Because the love of God is not in him. If he says that he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. This man, Jesus looked at him and he said, you're almost there, buddy. If you just take one step closer, you are going to be in the middle of my kingdom. If you just take one step closer, you're going to be in the middle of my kingdom. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Formality will drive you far from the kingdom. Skepticism and arrogance will drive you far from the kingdom. Sinners and the vices of sin will drive you far from the kingdom, and ignorance will drive you far from the kingdom. But a pure and true understanding of what is the most important commandments, and better yet, what is the two most important commandments, will preserve you through the worst of times and through the most difficult of times. Because there are no higher laws than these. There are no greater laws than these. And so I'm encouraging us today, and I'm saying to you that what this church needs to do, what I need to do, what you need to do, is you need to take a step closer to the Lord during our New Testament challenge. We need to draw nigh to God. Sometimes when we start living for the Lord and serving God, God starts asking us for things. He starts asking us for things. Could you shut the TV off for a minute and read my Bible? Could you save a little money back from all of your little pet projects, and could you support my missionary that I'm going to send over to a foreign country? Let's give up their career and let's give up their family connections, and let's give their whole entire lives to go and preach this gospel to people that they've never even seen before. Can you spend a little more time in my word? Jesus said, search the scriptures because they testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that does not have to be ashamed because they are rightly dividing the word of truth. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against you. We need to take a step closer to the Lord and get into the word together. We need to spend more time in prayer and meditation. David said, and in his law I will meditate day and night. David said, early will I seek thee. We need to spend more time in prayer and meditation. We need to spend some of us, you've got a lot of time to pray, but you need to spend less time talking and spend some more time listening. If you talk for 45 minutes and listen for 5, there's an imbalance in your prayer life. Sometimes we just need to listen. Sometimes we just need to calm our mind. Sometimes we need to really be honest with the Lord and say what's really going on in our lives and in our hearts. We need to spend more time in worship and fellowship with other believers. It says in Hebrews that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but that much more as the evil day approaches. We've got enlightened religion in our day and time. You know what enlightened religion is? Enlightened religion is Sunday morning. That's when we come to church. That's our best time of the week. The Bible says that when the Spirit was poured out in their lives, in the book of Acts, the Bible says they gathered when? What does it say? The Bible says they gathered every single day of the week. Well, we're a Sabbath church. We worship on Saturday. Well, we don't celebrate the death. We celebrate the resurrection. We're a Sunday church, and we go to church every Sunday. They celebrated and worshiped and studied the Word and shared the testimonies and prayed together every single day of the week. They were, the Bible says, daily in Solomon's porch. The Bible says that they went from house to house breaking bread. And yes, they had special meetings. And yes, they had special gatherings. And yes, they had to get organized and do all those things. But I wonder sometimes if we've got enlightened religion, but we don't see the miracles like they did. We've got enlightened religion, but we don't see the breakthroughs like they did. We've got enlightened religion, but we don't see the conversions like they did. You know what enlightened religion is? It's nothing. We We need to spend more time putting the Word of God into practice. The Bible says to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. You know people who hear the Word but don't do? You know what the Bible says about them? That they are self-deluded, that they deceive their own selves. It's time for some of us to take a step closer. Paul said that you should present your body to the Roman church a living sacrifice. We've got to put the Word of God into practice. There's too much talk and not enough action. There's too much back patting and handshaking and not enough action. We've got to put the Word of God into practice. We've got to start doing the things that the Bible said. We've got to start acting like at least even half make believe that we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, strength, soul, and body. Now, I'm not talking down to you today. I'm not trying to be mean to you today or discourage you today, but I'm just saying this, folks. Everybody wants to play the game. Sometimes I think we don't want the game to be over because we're enjoying playing it. But eventually somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. Eventually we've got to come down and make a decision. We've got to take a step closer to the Lord. Jesus said this, man, you're not far from the kingdom. And I wonder if this man got converted. I wonder if he was a part of the thousands of people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible doesn't say. We never get a backtrack on him. We never hear more about him later. Did he just keep Jesus at arm's distance? These people were so close to Jesus, but they were so far away from him. They were all Jews, but they were so far away from God. There's a lot of Christians in our world, and a lot of those folks here in the church, they would call ourselves Christians. And many of us speak in tongues. Many of us give our goods to feed the poor. Many of us do lots of different things. But my question to you is this. Is what you are doing from the heart, is what you are doing out of love for God, is what you are doing out of love for your neighbor, what is the motivation? The Bible says these people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God is asking us to take a step closer to Him. Not to get some new enlightened theology. God is asking us to take a step closer to Him. Not to get some new angle on prophecy in the end time. God is asking us to take a step closer to Him. And if we'll step closer to Him, James said that God will step closer to us. Paul said, hey, He's not that far from any of you. He said, you live and you move, you have your being, your very existence depends upon the will of God and the favor of God. Every person that walks the face of this earth is living in the grace and mercies of God. Because He has the power and the ability to take the breath from our life in a moment. We are all living in the grace of God. It's time that we acknowledge Him in our lives. The Bible says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. As your pastor, I'm encouraging and challenging you over the next 10 or 11 weeks as we start this New Testament challenge. One of the challenges I'm going to do is I'm going to get this microphone and I'm going to buy a new one. I'm going to throw this thing in the garbage. Take the challenge. It's going to cost me something. It's probably going to cost me about $300. Hello? It's going to cost you something to get closer to Jesus. Because you can't love the Lord with all your heart. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. He's going to love one and hate the other, but he cannot love them both. And so in order to love God with everything that is in our being, we're going to have to stop loving some other things so much. In order to take a step closer to the Lord, we're going to have to stop loving some other things so much and start loving God more.
Cell phones.
was speaking to you, brother.
Amen, brother. Time for the church to pass the electronic, brother.
The Lord is speaking to you. Everybody has their pet theology. Everybody has their little bully pulpit that they want to stand. Everybody thinks they know what it is that's going to make the church succeed. I'll tell you what's going to make the church succeed. It's not if you do everything wrong. I'll tell you what's going to make the church succeed. It's not if I convince everybody to see things my way. Or if you convince everybody to see things your way. What's going to make the church succeed is when we start loving God with all of our hearts.
Right. Amen.
With all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And He's only one God, so we don't have to divide our loyalties up. He's only one God, so we don't have to divide our time. In the historical eras when God called Abraham out and began to choose him to be a man of faith, there were people that worshiped all sorts of gods and idols and things, and they worshiped trees and they worshiped all different parts of creation, and then some of them had contact with evil spirits. Don't tell them what they worshiped, all sorts of crazy things. And Paul, when he was traveling, went to one of the Grecian cities or Roman cities in there, and went up to Mars Hill, and the Romans were tremendously superstitious, tremendously religious, and they had God, everything that you could think of under the sun up there, and they're all up there. Everybody, every single one of those gods had a philosopher and a teacher and a group of believers. And Paul knows that they even had one God. His name was the unknown God. It's just in case we forgot one. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to worry about all of these different gods and pleasing all of these different spirits and beings? We just have to worship one God. God said, I'm the only God. There is no other God beside me. And when I say love me with everything, that means you can put all your focus and all your attentions on me.
That's right.
Undivided and complete and whole. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's time for some of us to take a step closer. To take a step closer to the Lord.
Sure.
To take the challenge. And that doesn't mean that you can take a step closer. If I look at you and now you look like me, now I can think to myself, well, they must have got closer to the Lord. They look more like me, Brother Davis. Well, they're closer to the Lord. Now they see things my way now. Well, it may be that may be the case. That may be part of the plan. Somebody may be further along in spiritual maturity and scriptural understanding and enlightenment than you are. And you may start to look more like somebody else. Matter of fact, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That may be a part of it. But the main part is that you've got to get closer to Him. You've got to step closer to Jesus. Let's stand together this morning. And I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your participation. And I appreciate your being a part of the kingdom, because it is important to me. It's important to me to know what you feel and what you think. It's important to me to know your opinions and your ideas. And to me, it's always a benefit to have an understanding of where other people are coming from. What other people are dealing with, what other people are going through, helps me to work better together with the people around me when I have a better understanding of where they're coming from. Sometimes we just don't take the time, do we? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, there are some of us in this place.